Exploring the Word of God together allows us to share in the joy that comes from discovering the words of hope and salvation which overflow from our Bibles. Upper Room Media presents to you this educational, enlightening, and entertaining Bible study. Prepare to be transformed.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are commenting on the Gospel of St. John. We'll start with the last chapter in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. You know that Christ showed himself in many ways, many times after his resurrection. And he proved his resurrection by many ways in many days to many people. So Christianity, you know, is founded upon the truth of Christ is risen, because with this resurrection we had the promise that we will live again, we will have the afterlife. We are waiting for the living Christ to come again on the clouds in order to judge everyone and to take his believers to his kingdom of heaven. So it's all related to the foundation of resurrection. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. So he did not show himself only in houses, but also in open places like on the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." So it happened, like seven of them were sitting together, maybe praying or chatting together, and Simon Peter all of a sudden came up with an idea, "Let's go fishing." And he said it this way, "I'm going fishing." So as you all know, St. Peter was like leading things, and he thinks by himself, and he went for fishing. Somebody may say, shouldn't they stop fishing because they were called to be the disciples of the Lord, so they are now fishing men? But if they go fishing again, as if their call stopped. So maybe that's one of the pitfalls of St. Peter, especially after his fall in denying Christ many times. Maybe it's related to the feeling of low self-esteem, that he hurt his Lord, his beloved Christ, or he is just like inferior to other disciples, or maybe he felt like, "I'm not ready to be a disciple again, even if Christ, you know, showed himself to me and forgave me, but I'm not ready anymore to be his man." They said to him, "We are going with you also." That's a good step from them, because they all felt like sorry for St. Peter, and they wanted to share him, his negative feelings in a way, in order to support him and to tell him that we love you, and we still, like a group of friends, we will go together anywhere. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Remember, in the early days of their relationship with the Lord, if you go back to study the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 5, it was the same story, that they stayed for the night trying to fish, but they caught nothing. So with this bad feeling, the frustration, you know, sometimes people feel bad, like, why we are not fishing, why we are not succeeding in anything. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. He appeared early in the morning on the shore, maybe because it's like dim light and they couldn't see him from some far away. But you know, some saints said that because of their frustration, they couldn't see him. They did not expect to see him. Although they are dead sure that he was risen and he is living and he appeared many times, but still, sometimes we do not expect to see God. We do not wait for his touch. We are busy with our frustrations, our negative thoughts. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" So he looked like a man walking on the shore or like a fisherman. He is waiting to buy some fish for the market. So they didn't notice that he is the Lord. They answered him, "No." And when you answer no for such a question, you feel bad for yourself. You feel desperate. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." It was like an order, an unexpected order. Because, you know, they were fishermen and they know what to do. But maybe this man is a better one in fishing. So they took his advice. But it was strange for like a strange man telling them, just cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. As if he's telling them, it's very close to you. You don't need to go inside the sea. It's very close. You just put the net on the right side of the boat. You will catch many. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw with him because of the multitude of fish. They couldn't, you know, take the net out of the sea because of the multitude of the fish. So it was a miracle, because they were in the sea for like 7 hours trying to fish just one single fish. So by this multitude of fish, they got the idea that's a real miracle. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, who is Saint John himself, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." So look to this. When your heart is busy with the Lord, when your heart is full of love to the Lord, you catch it. You feel his presence. You feel the touch. You can find out easily that he is very close. So he, you know, found it before anyone and told his friend Saint Peter, "It's the Lord." Because it's exactly what happened like 3 years before, when St. Peter was in the sea and he caught nothing. And with the commandment of the Lord, he went into the sea and he caught many, the multitude of fish. So it's like a reminder. He felt the same feeling. Christ is here and all the blessing is here. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. So he put on his garment because he was like naked. And he just walked in the sea quickly in order to catch the Lord, in order to be the first one meeting the Lord. And you all know that he met the Lord few times before, after his resurrection. He met the Lord early in the morning of the great Sunday, and it was a very special meeting. They were only like together, but he met him again with the 10 disciples, and he met again with the 11 disciples, where Thomas was there also. So he had seen him many times, and he made sure that Christ is happy with him now, and he forgave him for the denial, and they went back to the early strong relationship. So he just plunged into the sea in order to be the first meeting him. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. So they started dragging the net and trying to push the boat in order to reach the shore, and they took it like slowly because it was a heavy net. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish led on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." It was very strange that Christ himself made the table for them. He prepared the lunch for them, and they were astonished seeing that the fish ready and the bread there and everything prepared, as if the Lord is telling them, you need not to think of eating and drinking and these earthly business. You know, just forget it. I promised you many times, just focus on the mission and everything will be given in plenty. But just believe, trust in me. So they found out that what they aimed for, what they wished for, is just that easy, ready for them. And also, you know, not to embarrass them, he asked them, why don't you bring also some of the fish you caught? And, you know, the prepared fish and the caught fish, you know, that's like the grace of God and the role of man. We need to share God in his service. He is doing things miraculously, but we, his people, his men, his servants, should do also our part. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. They counted the number because it was like a huge number, having all these fish after a night of nothing. You know, it was really strange. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. That's another sign of the miracle, because the net cannot stand for such a big number. But seeing the net is like very strong, meaning, you know, that the Bible now is completed. The good news are there, are completed. The net can accommodate for millions of people to know Christ nowadays and to accept faith and to be children of God. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. So they shared the meal together. They were happy seeing Christ before their eyes, and they, like, regaining the good memories of these meetings in Galilee many years before. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So it was not the first time, it was like the third time having all these number of disciples. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this?" After having this breakfast together, you know, Christ surprised Simon Peter saying, "Do you love me more than this?" That's a very critical question, because, you know, if Saint Peter says, "Yes, I love you," he will feel like sorry for himself because he couldn't prove his love. He denied him three times. And also the question was not only, "Do you love me?" but, "Do you love me more than this?" Actually, Saint Peter felt one day that he loved Christ more than anyone. And he will, you know, kind of paying his life to save the Lord. But he failed. So saying, "I love you more than anyone," that's not the right answer, because he knew that Saint John, his friend, his younger brother, he was there under the cross. So he shared, you know, the suffering of the Lord much more than anyone. So he cannot, like, answering yes. But because Saint Peter do not think much in the answer, he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." So as if he focused on the part of, "Do you love me?" "Yes, I love you. Definitely I love you. And you know it." Because, you know, they regain the relationship, and Simon Peter proved that he loves him with repentance. He said to him, "Feed my lambs." So, as if the Lord accepted the answer. He did not say, no, you don't love me, or wait a minute, just revive the answer. No, no. He accepted the answer, I know you love me. That's why I'm telling you, go and feed my lambs. That's why the service is always related to the love. When you love Christ, you can serve him and his people. You can feed his lambs. You will be busy with his children. But if you do not love him enough, you will never serve him in a good way. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And by saying, you know that I love you, as if I'm sure and you are sure, don't you know it? Definitely I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? When it comes to the third time, as if St. Peter remembered and he forgot that he denied him. And in the night he denied him, he was telling everyone, I love him more than any one of you. And I'm the one who will, save him whatever it cost me. So he felt sorry. He felt grieved because he couldn't say it again the third time, yes, I love you. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So on the third time, he started by saying, you know all things, but you know I love you. So, as if the feeling of St. Peter, definitely I love you, but maybe I cannot say it out loud. I'm not up to this confession. I wish to be the good man who loves you from all the heart, all the mind, and all the will. I failed you. I couldn't stand beside you. I'm not a very good man for you, but again I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. For the third time he is commanding St. Peter, go and feed my lamb. So he is giving him the authority back. You are one of my disciples. You are one of the pillars of the church. Nothing changed. As far as you repented, now I trust you as before. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. So he told him the future. Because Peter was passionate and happy serving God again, but Christ told him a future story will happen, that one day he will not guide himself, he will not move by himself. Someone will take him, because he said it this way, another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So St. John understood it, that one day St. Peter will be taken to death against his will. And that's exactly what happened in the last days of St. Peter. He tried to escape death, but Christ appeared to him and he went back to sacrifice his life for God. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? So when the Lord asked Peter, follow me, St. John is the one who moved quickly to follow Jesus, and St. Peter loved St. John so much. So he felt like, we will follow you together. We are partners. Will you please let us serve together, feed the sheep together, move together in the future, as if he is asking for St. John to be his partner always. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? As if he is asking for this man and John to be his partner. Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. the Lord is telling Peter, please let me plan, put my plans for each of you. And if I want St. John to just wait for me, I will do whatever I wish. But you follow me. Don't ask for special things in your service. Just follow me. Just, you know, surrender everything to me in your service. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple wouldn't die. So they took it literally that John will never die until Christ comes on the cloud. But actually, Christ did not mean it this way. He just meant it like, I am the planner. Follow me and don't ask for special things in your future service. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he wouldn't die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testified of these things. Now the Gospel of St. John finished. So with the end of the Gospel, St. John wanted to brief everything happened in this big story, the great story in history. So he's telling us, I'm the author, I'm the writer, not me, but the Holy Spirit using me. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that this testimony is true. So he's like approving all what was written in the Gospel to tell all the people in the future that's the real truth of Christ as given in the Gospel of St. John. There are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself couldn't contain the books that would be written. Amen. So the last verse given by St. John with the last year of the first century, he was the oldest among the disciples. All his brothers, the disciples, went to heaven. They were all martyred, and Christ kept him to the generation to be the witness for Christ with the start of the second century. That's why he's testifying. He wrote this gospel, supervised by the Holy Spirit, guided by God, in order to witness for the truth. So he said it this way, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So there are many, many, many other stories. Christ had done many miracles in the 3 years of his service, 3.5 years. You know, he had done great things, but most of all, he redeemed us. He came to die for us, and he rose from dead just for us. And that was the end of the Gospel of St. John. Glory to God. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.